What do you think of when I say the word home? Home.
Heaven.
Heaven. All right. Someone else. What do you think of when I say the word home? Oh, too many. What?
Comfort.
Comfort. Family.
Shelter.
Someone else?
Love.
We don't have a PowerPoint? Well, that's a blessing. When I think of the word home, and when we try to talk about the concepts of home, let's see if it's going to work. Is it going to work? I love technical difficulties. I'm going to let them figure that out, and we'll just keep going. But when referring to home, what we're often conveying when we say the word home is so much more than a house. Yes, a home can refer to your place of residence. I'm very thankful that I have a place of residence that is not with my parents. Amen? I love mom and dad, but you know, those 5 months after we came back from the Philippines with my parents were a stressor on them as much as on us. I'm so thankful for my place of residence. But you know, home can also refer to your family, to that family unit, to the relationships that you experience with one another. Home can also refer to a feeling of peace and safety and security. You know, I'll never forget the day that I was on the back seat of a bus, sitting on a wooden bench on a bus, traveling 12 hours down the peninsula of the island of Luzon. That was, you weren't there, Caleb, but yeah. That was quite a trip. And then I pull into this place, and I stick my head out the window because it was a, you know, they didn't have air conditioning on that bus. Stick my head out the window, and all I could see were streetlights. But God said, Wade, you're home. I was like, cool. I called Joanna up, and I said, Joanna, I found the place that we're going to move to, and we're going to be church planters in. And she said, cool, tell me about it. I said, I don't know anything other than the name. Because I had arrived at midnight. But I knew I was home. It was that feeling of peace, knowing that this was where God wanted me. You know, home can also refer to your hometown, or to your home region, or to your state. And for some reason, I'm not exactly sure, but a lot of people seem to think of Texas as home.
Amen.
Yeah, I did that for you. All right? That tore at the very being of my soul to put that up there. But I was driving down New Hope Road yesterday, and I saw a bumper sticker like this. And I was like, oh my goodness, Texans. I mean, they don't even put Texas on there. They just say home. I looked it up on the internet later because I didn't have my camera out to take the picture of the car I saw. And I found about 20 different options of bumper stickers that have the state of Texas outline that say home in some way. They're proud of that.
Amen.
Yeah. But you know what? Home can also refer to the country as a whole. I know living abroad, when we would get back into the United States, it was this feeling of, we're home. Dan was telling me when we were coming home from SOAR. Oh, am I not turned on? Well, there we go. Thank you, guys. I've got a big enough mouth that it doesn't matter is the good news. But for the video, Roxanna, I've got a backup. That's the good news. So, but Dan was telling me on his way home from SOAR that every time he comes over the hill on that interstate and you get the first glimpse of the University of Arkansas campus, he said, that's when I feel we made it back home. Now, I have never called Fayetteville home. I have no desire to call Fayetteville home. But Northwest Arkansas, that's home. You know, home can even refer to a person's host country. Now, some of you may not know what I mean by that when I say a person's host country. But you see, I was never a citizen of the country of the Philippines. But the Philippines was home for us. You know, home can refer to a lot of different things. A lot of different things. It is impossible to define or describe the meaning of home with just one word or one concept. It is so much more than just that. It is so much more than my home address. It is so much more than just my family. It is so much more. And so this morning, we're not going to talk about the home, but I wanted you to understand what we're going to talk about by utilizing that analogy of the word home. Today, we're going to be talking about spiritual gifts, understanding the gifts of the Spirit. And so what do you think of when I say the word spiritual gifts? Someone? Church? Someone else? The study we're doing every Wednesday night. Amen. All right. Someone else? Love, I heard. All right. Special abilities.
Commitment.
Now, these are all different types of ideas, but all of these things can and do refer to spiritual gifts. See, it's impossible to define or describe spiritual gifts with just one word or one concept. And therefore, because God knew this, you know, He's a pretty smart guy. God knew that we couldn't describe it with just one concept or just one word. And so God uses five different words in the Scripture that refer to spiritual gifts and convey the meaning behind the gifts of the Spirit. And so this morning, I want us to take some time to look at these things. And before we do this, I want to apologize, okay? Because sometimes this type of study can seem tedious. And I hope you don't get tied up in the minutia, but rather look at the big picture of this is what God is trying to teach us about spiritual gifts. If you have a copy of your bulletin, there are some notes in your bulletin insert today that may help you in this process. But we want to start out by looking briefly at the passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12 are the most prominent passages in all of Scripture that talk about spiritual gifts. Romans chapter 12 verse 6 says, "Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them." Okay? This is from the English Standard Version. So having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Now what I want us to see first and foremost about this passage is this. And if you can't read those words, it's because it's in another language, just in case you were wondering. But the word gifts there at the beginning of that sentence is the word charismata in the Greek. The word grace in that same verse is the word charis. And this is what I want us to understand. We need to understand the relationship between spiritual gifts and the grace of God. You see, charis is the word grace in Scripture. And you've probably heard that before. A lot of different people use that Greek word, charis. There's a Christian school in the Philippines named Charis Christian Academy. It's this concept of grace. Charis is God's grace. Charismata are the gifts of grace. We've got to understand that spiritual gifts are God's grace at work in our lives. It's such an important relationship that we need to see. So important that I have made the decision to try to share with you a little bit from original languages today. Please don't turn me off because of that. I won't go deep into the details, but I want us to see the relationship. Charis, charis is God's grace, and charismata is God's grace at work in us. It is the spiritual gifts. Now, there are many different gifts listed in the New Testament. If you're in our study on Wednesday nights, you know that we have the gift of evangelism, the gift of prophecy, teaching, exhortation, pastor shepherd, showing mercy, serving or ministry, giving, and administration. Those are nine of the gifts that we focus in on. They're kind of a summation of many of the gifts. But all of these gifts, please understand, all of these gifts, whether it's evangelism or administration, whether it's exhortation or showing mercy, all of these gifts are an outworking of God's grace in our lives. It is God at work through us. And so because spiritual gifts are so complex, God gave us many different ways to be able to understand what they really are. So He uses many different words in Scripture to help define and describe them. And so that's what we're going to look at real quickly. And that's in your notes. The five words that Paul uses referring to gifts or the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The first of these is the word pneumatikon. From the root word pneuma, which is the spirit. All right, this refers to spiritual abilities. Okay, we find this word used in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 when it says, "And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual." You see, pneumatikon. This concept of interpreting spiritual truths is a grace of God at work in our lives. We are able to understand God's Word because the Holy Spirit of God guides us into that truth. He reveals truth to us. He explains truth to us. In the innermost depths of our being, we can understand God's Word, because God is living inside us. His Spirit is in us. And that work is pneumatikon, the spiritual abilities. The second thing that we find is energamaton. Oh, don't you love these words? And by the way, there's no test later. You don't need to know these. I want you to know what they mean, okay? But energamaton is where we get our word energy from. And these are energized activities. We find this in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, where Paul says that, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." God is at work in you. His energized activity is working in us to bring about the work that He wants us to do according to His will, according to His pleasure. And so these energized activities are referring to spiritual gifts. The next we find, we talk about charismaton, or from that same word, charis or charismata. Now this is the verbal form, the charismaton. These are the gifts of grace. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. We quote that verse all the time when we're sharing the truth about salvation, don't we? "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ," or Christ Jesus, "our Lord." That word gift, the free gift of God, is from the word charismaton. It is the gift of grace. And that free gift of salvation that we experience with the forgiveness of sin is the same type of gift that we experience each and every day of our lives as we live for Christ. That's why Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 says, "For by grace you have been saved." The verbal form isn't saying you were saved. It didn't say you will be saved. It says you have been saved. And the idea behind that is that there was a point in time over here in history that you trusted in Christ as your Savior. And from that point forward, He continues saving you day by day by day until eternity. It's the perfect tense in the Greek. It means that there was a time when it started and it never ends. You have been saved. It is God's grace at work in you every single day. That is charismaton. The fourth one that we're looking at is diakonai. This is the acts of service. This is where we get our modern day word deacon. Deacons are servants of the church. They exhibit the gift of God by serving, and this is the service, the idea of service in diakonai. We find this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. A great scripture, also talking about spiritual gifts. Verse 11 says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some pastors and some teachers." And I think evangelists was in there. I left that out. But he goes on in verse 12 and says, "To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ." That ministry, that concept of what we are being equipped to do, what we are gifted to be able to be a part of, that is diakonai, the ministry, or service. And then finally, the last word that refers to gifts in the Bible is the word phanerosis, which is the manifestations of the Spirit. The manifestations of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, we find that the Bible says, "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." And notice, if we go back to number 4, it says, "For the building up of the body of Christ." Why do we get gifts? For the building up of the body of Christ. Why do we get gifts? For the common good of others. Our gifts are not there to be self-serving. Our gifts are there to serve others for everyone's good. And so these are the different terms that Paul uses in the New Testament to describe the gifts of the Holy Spirit. My question is, how can we know that all these words are specifically related to spiritual gifts? Because the verses that I shared really, some of them didn't have anything to do in our normal everyday concept of spiritual gifts. Romans 6:23 doesn't have anything to do with that. That's dealing with salvation. How can we know that all of these terms specifically relate to spiritual gifts? I invite you, if you would, to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's going to be the focus of our study today. And before you think that, oh my goodness, that was just the introduction. Well, it was, but there's a lot that needed to be said. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to be looking at several different verses here. We're going to start in verse 1, and then we're going to move forward and read verses 4 through 7. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 1, the Bible says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." You know, that's a good thing. I never like to be ignorant. And so Paul says to the church at Corinth, you need to know about these things. So concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Verse 4 says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord." Verse 6, "And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." Now, if we just look at this passage in the English language, I'm afraid that we don't see everything that we need to see. And so I want to point out a few things. If you look at verse 1, you find that Paul says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts," And there in verse 1, he uses the word pneumatikon, those spiritual abilities that are the working of God in and through us. He says, concerning spiritual gifts, the pneumatikon. Then in verse 4, he goes on and says, now there are diversities of gifts, charismaton, but the same Spirit. So we have pneumatikon is used in verse 1. Charismaton is used in verse 4. Verse 5, it goes on, and there are differences of administrations. And that is diakonon from diakonai. Again, the administrations or services or ministry goes on. Verse 6. And there are diversities of operations, energumenton. But it is the same God which worketh energon all in all. So we find the energized activities of the Spirit here in verse 6. There are diversities of activities. There are diversities of operations or workings of the Spirit. But it is the same God who works all in all. And then verse 7. But the manifestation. What's that one? That would be phanerosis. The manifestation of the Spirit. You see, all here in one passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, all five of those concepts are there and they're relating to spiritual gifts. These are all different ways of looking at that same thing. Just like we talked about home a while ago and how that home can be discussed in many different ways. It can be looked at in different lights and so forth. Spiritual gifts need to be understood in all these different ways. So my question is, what are spiritual gifts? What are spiritual gifts? Well, all charismata or all spiritual gifts are works of God's grace. It's built into the Word. It is the outworking of grace in our lives. It is God's charis, charismata at work in us. It is the work of God's grace. And therefore, all of these actions are produced by God. All of these charismata are acts of service, and they are all produced by God. Now, the energumata, that energized activity that we find up there in verse 6, it underlines that all the spiritual gifts, all the charismata, are affected by divine power. Folks, spiritual gifts do not exist outside of the realm of divine power. It is not my ability. It is the work of God in me and through me. Energumaton, it defines, says that it is that which is accomplished through the energy of God. The energon is to be at work or to be effective or to produce. So when we look at verse 6 and it says, there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God that worketh all in all. It is God's operation. It is God's activity. We may be invited to be a part of it, but it is God at work, and He is the one who will bring about the effect and will produce the effect that He wants done. We do not have control over spiritual gifts. God ought to have control over us and work in and through us. Does that make sense? I don't think this is the way I grew up understanding spiritual gifts. You know, I understood it in a different way, and we're going to talk about that in a while. But this is the work of God. All these things, verse 7 tells us, all charismata or all spiritual gifts are manifestations of the grace of God or manifestations of the Spirit for the common good. These are focused on others. There's a man who wrote a book called Jesus and the Spirit. His name is James Dunn. And he said this, charismata, or a spiritual gift, is an event, an action enabled by divine power. Charisma is divine energy accomplishing a particular result in word or deed through an individual. Notice that. He said it is an event, an action that is enabled by divine power. I was able to be a part of a seminary course several years back called Theology of Leadership. And my professor, Dr. Guy Saffold, was the director of Campus Crusade for Christ in Canada, called Power to Change. This is what he said about spiritual gifts. He said, what we call spiritual gifts are not things transferred from God to us as if they now become a part of us. Now, I want to pause there for a moment because, number one, that's all that's on the screen, but also I want to explain what he's saying. How many of us have been taught in our life that when we are saved through God's grace, we are gifted supernaturally to serve Him? Right? That's what I was taught. But what I got from that was that now I have some sort of supernatural ability. I now have spiritual gifts that I can use to the glory of God. That's the good way of looking at it. But sometimes people look at it as, I've got spiritual gifts that I can use as I want, as I see fit. That's not what charismata is. Spiritual gifts are not things that God transfers to us to use as we see fit, but rather, they are God at work in us. So let's look at what Dr. Saffold said. What we call spiritual gifts are not things transferred from God to us as if they now become part of us. Charismata are energetic manifestations of the Spirit working through us in characteristic ways as a provision of God's grace for the purposes of witness and service. I love the way Dr. Saffold said that because he points out the fact that, you know what? Characteristically, God will work through me in a particular way. And that's where we get spiritual gift evaluations. My spiritual gifts are administration and teaching. Those are my two highest gifts. But folks, it is God who decides whether or not He shows up and shows off in my administration and teaching. And that all depends upon whether or not I am depending upon Him, relying upon Him, and yielding myself to Him. Because I can get up here and I can teach and I can preach completely and totally in my own power and ability. And usually when that happens, the sermon comes out of my mouth and falls somewhere about the first or second row and doesn't hit you in any way. And it's like, well, that was a wasted hour. Let's be honest. I've been in sermons where it was a waste of my time. Is that because of the preacher? I don't know. It could have been because of me. But the fact of the matter is, I can attempt to do what I'm doing in my own power, but that will not be blessed by God. The spiritual gift of teaching may be characteristic in my life, however, it is God's work in me that makes it something special. I know for a fact, because some of you have told me, that Brother Wade, that just touched my heart. What you said today, I God showed me this truth, and this is what I'm going to do as a result. And I'm thinking back over the sermon that I was preaching, and I was like, I didn't talk about that at all. That's the Holy Spirit of God translating from what I'm saying to your heart. I thank God for that, because what I do, what Brother Dan does, what Brother Ron does as ministers of the gospel, we could not do effectively in and of ourselves. It is the power of God at work in us and through us. And it's not something that is only for us as ministers. It is the grace of God. If you've experienced salvation through Jesus Christ, then you have that same grace at your disposal if you'll let yourself be used by God. Now, let me say quickly, those may be my most characteristic gifts. Those may be the ways that God chooses to use me most often. But we have to understand that if it is a work of God in and through me, then God can choose to use any of His gifts He desires to use in and through me at any given time. It is a possibility, because all things are possible with God, that your pastor can show mercy. Praise the Lord. It is a possibility that all these gifts can happen if and when we are submitted to the Spirit. Because it's not about me. It's not about what I'm doing. It is a work of God for the purposes of witness and service. So very quickly, I want us to look at these three things. The first of which is that charismata is always an event. There is no one alive today that is constantly walking in the Spirit and being used every moment of their day by the Holy Spirit, exhibiting their spiritual gift every day, every moment of that day. It is an event. Charisma is the gracious energy of God at work through man. It is not something that a believer can possess. Okay? It is not something that God gave to me and now I have control over. Okay? It is not an office that can be held. Yes, you know, He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministries. Folks, those are not offices. Those are ministries. Those are the ways that God works through us all. It is a manifestation of His grace. Charisma is never my charisma. Now, we know that word in English, don't we? Oh, he's a very charismatic fella. Oh, he has a lot of charisma. The charisma that we're talking about came about long before the English concept of charisma. This is the work of God. This charisma, strictly speaking, is never my charisma. It is given to me only in the sense that God chooses to give it to me so that I can bless others with it. Spiritual gifts are never for my benefit. Spiritual gifts are always for the purpose of building up the body of Christ or for the purpose of the common good of people. My gift of administration or teaching, which are my two highest gifts, are not for me, they're for the good of the church. They're not my charisma. You know, and indeed, and in an important sense, charisma is not given to me at all. But it's given to the one to whom is being served. In other words, charisma is not something that an individual can put into storage, so to speak, and then pull it out whenever they want to use it. It doesn't work like that. Charisma or charismata, the spiritual gifts, the work of grace of God in our lives, it is just that. It is a work of God. It's not about us. Do you get that? It is the experience of God's grace and power in a particular situation for that instance and that instance only. Because folks, you can be living in the Holy Spirit today, and tomorrow you can be living in sin, and God will no longer work through you as long as you're living in sin. You're living, you know, outside, not keeping step with the Spirit. And we're going to talk about that in a few weeks. It is an event. All right? The next thing that I notice is that charismata is typically an experience. It is typically an experience. It is an experience of something being accomplished through me. All right? It's an experience of grace. You know, salvation is our first experience of grace. I shared earlier Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved, and how that it happens at a particular point in history, and God continues to save us each and every day. That's the tense of the word there. It's not that we need repent, you know, we don't need remission of sin each day, but it's that positional sanctification. We are in Christ, therefore we are justified, and now every day as a process, we are progressively becoming conformed to the image of His Son. We have been saved through faith, by grace. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. Folks, if salvation is a free gift of God that we can do nothing to earn or deserve, why do you think that spiritual gifts would be something that we do on our own? It is the same grace. It is the same work of grace of God in our lives. God at work doing something in us and through us that we could never accomplish on our own. It is an experience. In all the spiritual gifts, we must remember that grace comes by God working through us. It is not us doing the work. It is God. And third, charismata is the work of God. It is the work of God. Charisma is not to be confused with natural talent or ability. Nowhere does charisma have the sense of human capacity heightened, developed, or transformed. This isn't God making you more talented, folks. This is God working through you in spite of you. Charisma is always God acting. Always the Spirit manifesting Himself. Spiritual gifts are not supernatural powers that are bestowed upon us at the point of salvation. They are supernatural, yes, but they're not supernatural powers given to us, but rather they are supernatural motivations assigned to us by the Holy Spirit at the point of salvation. Why do I like to teach? Why do I like to administrate? Most people hate administrating, don't they? I mean, who here hates administration? Yeah, well, some of you aren't telling the truth, but that's okay. I love it. Why? Because I believe that God instilled in me a supernatural motivation to do that, and He wants to work through me in that process. The same is true in teaching. There's nothing that bothers me more when I hear people say, well, those who can't teach. Have you heard that? Oh, that rips at the soul of my being. Because I love to teach. God has given me a supernatural motivation to do that. And I know some of you also have that same supernatural motivation that you just gotta teach. The Holy Spirit gives us that assignment, so to speak, at the point of our salvation. It is our motivation. We're motivated to do those things. And as a result, as we walk in Him, as we live our life in Him, He shows up and shows off. He works in us. God uses this interest, this passion. You know, we're passionate about the ministries or the activities that we feel called to be a part of. And so God uses this interest to move us into situations and circumstances so that He can work through us in supernatural ways. That is charismata. That is the work of God and God's grace in our life. They are the gifts of grace. So this morning, we're thinking about, you know, trying to understand spiritual gifts. I want to read to you the rest of this chapter, or the rest of this passage in Romans chapter 12, talking about the spiritual gifts. That's where we started. It said, you know, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, it says, speak out with much faith, with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving, serve others well. Serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. This is really difficult stuff to understand, right? If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. This is one place in Scripture where those spiritual gifts are listed out. But my point and my question to you today is, whatever your spiritual gift, you must step out in faith and serve Him therein. Whatever it is, step out in faith and trust that He can do something supernatural through you. It's not about you. It's not about me. It is God at work. Energizing activity going on within my heart. The Spirit of God giving spiritual abilities that we can't understand. The Spirit of God manifesting Himself to bring out spiritual gifts in my life. Step out in faith and serve Him in your spiritual gift as you depend upon Him to work through you to accomplish His will. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank You so much for the truth of Your Word and the exact nature of Your Word. And God, I just thank You that You give me the motivation to do the things that You've called me to do. And Lord, I thank You that You work in and through me in supernatural ways. And God, I know that it's not about me. It's not about my ability. It's not about who I am as a person. But God, it's all about You. And so, Father, I just pray that as we take a time and just a moment, and we pray and we sing and we listen to Your Spirit, Lord, I just pray that You would convict the hearts of those hearing this today to step out in faith and serve You. To remember that every time that they step up to the plate to serve you in whatever they're doing, that, Father, they need to depend upon you and ask you, Father, to work through them. Because, God, it's not about us. Oh, Father, I thank you so much that your Spirit lives within me and that he is at work in me and that everything good that ever comes out of me, God, I thank you because it's from you. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.